The Hart-Centered Office Building reopens today. It's been closed since October, when an envelope containing anthrax spores was opened in the offices of Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle. The building was fumigated to kill the spores, but the sender remains unknown. There appear to be parallels with the Unabomber case, including the mystery about what the perpetrator wants, NPR's David Kestenbaum reports.
The postal system is perhaps the last anonymous mode of communication around. Patrick Webb learned that the hard way, working at the FBI, pursuing the Unabomber. As with the anthrax case, agents had very little to go on.
We only had two rules in Unabomber. First one was anything was possible, and the second one was no psychics. We never took information from psychics.
Though it must have been tempting. Instead, to find out what the Unabomber was after, investigators pioneered something that is now called victimology. They collected life histories of the victims to see what they had in common.
Whether it was their public stature, whether it was a stand they took on some public issue, whether it was something they said that offended someone. One of the things you may want to do is, and I'm sure they're doing this, is going back and looking at their correspondence, their so-called fan letters, and see if that would suggest anything.
Two of the anthrax letters were sent to Senators Tom Daschle and Patrick Leahy, both Democrats. One group who had a gripe with Daschle and Leahy is the Traditional Values Coalition, which, before the attacks, had issued a press release criticizing the senators for trying to remove the phrase, "So help me God," from the oath. The Traditional Values Coalition, however, told me the FBI had not contacted them and then issued a press release saying NPR was in the pocket of the Democrats and trying to frame them. But investigators are thinking along these lines. FBI agents won't discuss the case, but the people they have spoken with will. The FBI, for instance, has met with Planned Parenthood. Years before all this happened, Planned Parenthood and abortion clinics regularly received threatening anthrax letters containing white powder. The organization kept photocopies of the letters, and after this investigation began, FBI agents came by to check them out. Ann Glazer is head of security for Planned Parenthood. She says FBI agents, dressed like you'd expect in dark suits, brought over copies of the letters sent to Capitol Hill.
There was a lot of very intense work on what did our letters look like? Did they have anything in common with the letters that had actually delivered anthrax? What did we think about the chances that people who actually sent anthrax and the people who were sending the threat letters to us knew each other, acted together, that kind of thing?
But the handwriting and the feel of the letters was completely different. The letters sent to Planned Parenthood said things like, "You're going to die." One of the real anthrax letters said, "Take penicillin now." The conclusion was that there was no connection, and the FBI agents left.
So I sense on their part a very strong sense of frustration. And it's not a sense that comes from, oh, we don't have the resources, or we can't give this very much time, we're involved in other things. It's a sense of, we have a lot of talented people working on it, and it's just not coming together the way we thought it might.
Another dead end. What did this person want? Unabom investigators also saw their leads run dry, so they resorted to something else.
Routine investigative techniques go right out the door. You have to do something different. You got to think like the bad guy.
Tony Mouliot was an investigator with the Postal Service for 25 years.
In the case of the Unabomber, a time came for me after 11 years that I started to feel and think that I was the bad guy. What would I do next? How would I cover my trail? And to be honest with you, Ted was very smart.
Ted Kaczynski. Mouliot spent so much time trying to get into his skin, he just calls him Ted. One person trying to think like the anthrax bad guy is Barbara Hatch Rosenberg. She's a bioterrorism expert with the Federation of American Scientists. She met with the FBI about a month ago. Not men in black suits. Two women, casually dressed. Rosenberg's not quite sure what the culprit was after, but she's convinced he's a scientist, because he knew how to handle anthrax spores.
I'm a microbiologist, and I wouldn't go near such material, even in high containment, unless I was wearing a space suit. You know, it requires some very specialized expertise, training, and experience to handle this kind of stuff safely.
The FBI has contacted the American Society for Microbiology and obtained a list of all members. The FBI also told the ASM it would send a letter to its scientists requesting additional information, but so far it hasn't, suggesting the FBI isn't focused on academic researchers. Former FBI agent Patrick Webb says you have to target an investigation. He keeps coming back to the central question: who would want to do this?
I think a motive is probably one of the more fundamental things in any investigation. And in this investigation, it baffles me because there's no motive shown yet.
Rosenberg has an answer for why the letters made no demands. She suspects the demand is implicit.
I can speculate that a scientist working in the biodefense program, as this perpetrator must be, would want to frighten people about biological weapons because that would make his program and his work more important. And he may think it is very important and that there isn't enough attention being paid, which certainly has been true in the past. So this might be a rather warped way of bringing the threat to public attention.
And the FBI does seem to be focused on people in this country. The anthrax in the envelopes was of a type being used at the defense labs. A Canadian lab also had the strain, but as of last month, hadn't been contacted by the FBI. Researchers at American defense labs have been asked not to talk about the investigation. One defense scientist recently told a colleague, "Don't call me again for a while." Barbara Hatch Rosenberg finds all this telling.
I think that the FBI has a very short list of suspects. I know several people who have given lists of suspects, and I think that they have known pretty much who it is for at least 2 months. The problem may be either they're having trouble getting specific hard evidence to convict a specific person, or there may be some reluctance to pursue this publicly because of the embarrassment to the United States and because of the possibility that it might be difficult to avoid having some classified material come out if he were prosecuted.
Rosenberg and other scientists have the strong feeling they may have met or seen the person behind the attacks. Maybe he attended their scientific meetings, stood in back of the room during lectures. Patrick Webb pictures the attacker sitting back, watching the fallout on TV, reveling in the painful cleanup of contaminated buildings and the Postal Service's proposal to spend billions of dollars irradiating pieces of mail. The Unabomber would drop an explosive in the mail, then go dormant for a while. Webb suspects there will be more anthrax attacks if the sender has more spores. He also thinks that eventually the person will be caught.
Somebody does know this person, and it's also, I think, one of those natural things where people, unless they're very, very disciplined, can't keep these things to themselves. They may have to tell somebody.
Nearly 20 years after the Unabomber mailed his first explosive, he sent out a 35,000-word manifesto on the tyranny of technology. It was only then investigators learned what he had wanted, and only then that somebody recognized his words and turned him in. The FBI and the Post Office are offering a $1.25 million reward for anyone who cracks the anthrax case.